it's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I have a very real podcast host in front of me, Joy Marie. She hosts Joblogs, which is an extremely popular podcast. How do you describe it?
It's a career podcast for young professionals. We tend to attract a lot of diverse millennial women, which we love.
So, yes.
You know, just helping you navigate your day-to-day work life.
Okay.
That's pretty much the show.
And I'm like a millennial diverse woman in a corporate job, so I'm right in target, and I love the show.
Thank you.
But you're like the real deal. I met you at a Spotify
podcasting event. Yeah,
event.
That's right.
And you mentioned that you did Joblogs, and I was like, oh my gosh, of course I know it. It's always on the front page of iTunes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So, like, imagine my embarrassment that, like, my setup barely works.
You know,
we're recording here at my home in Chelsea, and
which is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Stunning.
Thank you. But yeah, you work full time.
Mm-hmm,
so
I do.
And then you find time to do your podcast one.
I do weekends, weeknights, literally every other hour of the day.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, that's cool because my marketing job really kind of complements what I'm doing with the podcast, and I learn a lot there that I apply to the podcast and vice versa, actually.
Yes.
So it's worked.
It's interesting because your podcast is so much about career advice and job advice.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of like have to have a full-time job to like legitimize giving that advice.
Yeah.
But in a way, I don't think that you do. Do you think you need to?
I do right now. And I've said that to a couple of people who've been like, why don't you just like branch out and do the podcast full time? Well, first of all, I don't know how I'd be making money doing a podcast full time. I know you can relate. But secondly, yeah, I mean, I think like in order to be relevant and give people, you know, advice and also our podcast isn't really about talking at people. It's about experiencing the career hurdles and triumphs.
Yes.
Right alongside our listeners. So I think it is important to still be in the workforce and like experiencing everything.
Everything in real time.
Yeah.
So one of your recent episodes, you talked about kind of style and fashion and how to dress in a corporate setting. It was a really interesting episode and discussion. How important do you think it is, the way you present yourself at work versus your overall performance and output?
Yeah. So, you know, if you would have asked me that maybe 3-4 years ago when I was kind of like entry level or, you know, a couple years in the workforce, I would have said not so important. But now that I'm kind of middle, you know, mid management, manager level, I think it's incredibly important because I'm starting to pay attention to who is getting promoted.
Interesting.
Who's landing opportunities, who's literally making more money. And it is people who are just sort of like well-dressed, well-carried, and present well, period. And so I don't think it's singularly about style or looks, but I think it's about the whole package.
The whole package.
Of just being confident, you know, looking great, presenting really confidently, and kind of like owning yours, you know what I mean?
Do you think that that can compensate for a lack of, like, do you think you can look the part but not deliver the results and still get far?
100%, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people out there that kind of walk the part, act the part, look amazing, talk the talk, and don't really get that much done, but because of their presence.
Right.
And because of their relationships too, candidly, right?
Right.
Not
it's like,
do work and not have relationships.
Of course.
But because of their relationships and because of their presence, they're just a little bit more likable, so.
That's really interesting. So basically, to get ahead in your career, you could like take classes on professional development and how to make a great PowerPoint, or you could get a tailor and get you know, a great haircut and use that to kind of get ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say just the style
piece,
but the personality and the relationships have to go right alongside with it. And I've seen people kind of pursue both paths. I've seen people put their heads down and do a lot of work.
Yeah,
work is great, but if you're not promoting yourself, if you're not getting out there and interacting with other people, you're never gonna get promoted. Like, people need to know you're doing the work. So, I don't think I'm a strong advocate of one approach over the other, but I do notice, especially in corporate environments, that kind of the better you put yourself together, the better styled you are, the more confident you are, and the more you spend very intentional time in building relationships, not like transactional networking, but actually building relationships with your colleagues, the further ahead you get.
Right. One of the things that I worry about, I guess, is especially for young people entering the workforce today, how do they learn how to dress? How do they learn how to present themselves? Because if you watch TV for like quote unquote work is not really how you should be coming into any office. And I wonder what examples there are out there to kind of even learn how to put yourself together if you don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's incredibly hard. And I'm actually still learning it. I'm 29. Mm-hmm. I've been working since I was like 20. I'm still learning that. And I think especially for a lot of people of color, people mm-hmm. who didn't grow up in environments where they had, you know, whether it's parents or family or role models who kind of came up in corporate or whatever work environment you're pursuing, it's difficult. And so I think some of the best ways to learn are to just like sort of study mm-hmm. People that you kind of aspire to be.
Right.
So, you know, if it's mentors or even if it's figures that you don't know personally.
Like Olivia Pope. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Olivia Pope. But like really when I say study, I mean, it's not just the study of the outfits and how you put it together, but it's like the textures, right?
Mm.
It's the jewelry. It's how mm-hmm. they accessorize. And if you start to notice patterns, I know for myself in corporate, it took a while to learn that like, yes, I love colorful statement necklaces and statement mm-hmm. pieces, but those aren't always the most appropriate in a corporate environment.
Okay, continue.
I mean, they're appropriate if you dress them the right way. I feel like that's why you're probably hesitating, right?
Yeah, I always hesitate about any hard and fast rule because it all depends. It's all about the context, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's how you put the whole thing together. But that's something I had to learn, right?
Right.
It's like,
right.
So if it's going to be a really bright, bold statement piece, how do you package that together?
Together, yeah.
So that the whole look feels and looks really great in a professional setting.
Right.
So I agree. Like, I don't think there are hard and fast rules, but I think, I know from my personal experience, I struggled a lot with like, you know, like the H&M buys or the Forever 21 buys, you got to look at the materials because if it's super light or see-through and like, you know, your bra underwear is kind of showing through or, you know, I'm sort of a largely endowed woman when it comes to...
You have beautiful curves. You have beautiful curves. Yeah.
I had to learn how to make sure that wasn't like so in your face or too in your face in the workforce. So, you know, wearing the right undergarments and things like that. And I'm still learning, to be honest.
I mean, I think everyone is still learning. I don't think anyone arrives to a point where they're like, this is it. This I'm at my peak style.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that helped me tremendously was when I completely like swore off cold turkey, Zara, H&M, Forever 21. Mm. Because you go in, the mannequins in the front look great. You see a bunch of stuff that you want to put on immediately and wear right now. But I've moved 3 times mm-hmm. in the past 5 years. And every time it comes to getting rid of stuff, it's always
that stuff.
There's a pattern. It's like the kind of like shinier and prettier it is in the moment, the less staying power it has. And so it's like, it's not fun to buy, you know, a gray cashmere turtleneck, but sometimes that's going to be the piece that is going to be the most versatile for you.
Well, what are your like investment pieces? So my dad is a huge shopper and I feel like men can't play when it comes to work because like, you know, suits and shoes and everything, you pay a little bit more attention, the dress shirts and everything.
What does your dad do?
He works at the UN actually.
Oh,
but that's cool. He is in Europe. He's based in Europe. And so obviously he's exposed to a little bit more of Italian fashion.
Oh my God.
And French fashion.
And they're very serious about the cut and the material.
They know what they're talking about. And so he's always told me like quality, not quantity. And I haven't listened yet. I think I'm about to start. I'm about to turn 30. I think I'm about to start. But what are your like investment pieces? What are the things you'll spend a little bit more money on?
So I had the privilege of going to all of the Ralph Lauren sample sales when I worked there. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of loaded up on everything. Jackets, sweaters, pants, bags, shoes. I don't think you necessarily have to spend more money to get good quality pieces. You just have to have the patience. Some people don't like shopping. I love, like, throw me in a consignment store on the Upper East Side. I will wade through all of the racks. Yeah. A lot of people don't have the patience to do that.
So I'm not there yet, but I feel like what I'm starting to observe are like for myself, bags, shoes, and then jewelry.
Yeah.
I think like really spending the time and energy there. And to your point, it's not about the money, but it's just about like even finding a quality piece on sale.
Yes.
I think that's where I want to start to shift my focus a little bit. And hopefully that'll kind of elevate my
work. Your style is great. I mean, your style is great. I'm sure at work you look great as well. I think shoes is one thing that I was investing investing in, but in the wrong way. I was spending money on high heels, and they're painful.
Yeah.
And I don't like wearing them.
Yeah.
So now I've started investing in really good flats.
Okay.
Which feels like I don't want to spend all of this money on a boring flat shoe.
Yeah.
But when you think about how much you wear it, they always say, like, think about cost per wear.
Right.
If you
like
calculate the cost per wear, it's worth investing in a really beautiful ballet flat or like a sturdy.
Completely
agree.
Yeah.
So I think those are like kind of the places that you can focus focus on.
Okay, cool.
So work stuff aside, I went to Crown Heights for the first time on Saturday.
Nice.
I know you.
Welcome. That's my new home.
Your new neighborhood.
Yes.
I went. I got crochet braids done for the first time.
Oh, love it. They look great.
Thank you. It took a very long time to get there. I made the mistake of taking an Uber, which was extremely expensive.
Yes.
And then I took the train back, and it was easy and $2.50, which is always great. But you just moved into a new place.
I did.
Which
by myself.
Is so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I live with my husband, but I remember when I first moved into my very own place, it was like this extremely exciting opportunity to figure out, like, who am I?
Yes, I'm totally there.
What are the spaces, like, the excitement of being able to decorate a place exactly how you want it is just one of the best things.
Yes.
Tell me about, have you thought about your, I would call it like a boudoir, but like the area that you get dressed and ready?
I have. So I got a two bedroom by myself because,
love that.
You know, my family's abroad. And
okay.
So when they come to visit, I want them to have a place to stay for a couple of weeks. And I have like some really cute exposed brick happening, which is very Brooklyn and very like in line with my personality too. So in my bedroom, I actually took the smaller room because it has a bit more of the exposed brick.
Okay.
There's a little alcove with exposed brick.
Nice.
And so there isn't, you know, this is very New York, very Brooklyn. If you're from the area, you know what I'm talking about. They slice and dice these apartments. So the storage is not necessarily what I'd want. Like you don't have the right closet space, but there's an alcove. And so I bought sort of a freestanding pipe rack. And so I'm setting up kind of like a clothing rack and a dresser and a plant and a mirror. And that's kind of the direction I'm going. I've only been there a couple of weeks, so it's still a work in progress.
So you can kind of see.
Yes.
And on that rack, are you going to hang the clothes that you actually wear or like the display?
Display.
Of
all
course.
The way.
Okay.
Got it. Already, I can tell this about myself in my new space. I'm very like much serious about walking in and being energized by the space around me. So my whole living area is already curated so that it's beautiful. It's not necessarily functional, but I like to walk in.
Yeah,
just,
it's
like,
about the vibe.
By it.
Yeah.
So that's it's going to be look. It's going to be a combination.
Okay.
I have a little bit of jewelry hanging from it. I got some cute container, like items from the container store. So I have some jewelry.
Container store is so essential.
Some head wraps because I love the prints and patterns and they kind of remind me of, you know, African, kind of my Ghanaian roots and everything.
Are you from Ghana?
I am.
Oh, that's so cool. Have you read Homegoing?
I have not.
That's so
I've heard
good.
So much about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to school with her.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's an amazing book.
Okay.
It's about slavery, though, and so, of course, it's extremely sad.
Yeah.
And when I finished it, I was kind of like, I need to pause on slave content.
For a minute. I need a minute.
Yeah.
Oh,
just,
my gosh.
It's painful.
Okay.
It's painful.
Okay.
But it's amazing.
I'm going to do it. I've heard so many
good things. Read it.
Amazing.
Have you done 23andMe?
No.
The, like, DNA test thing?
No. But, I mean, also, like, I feel like I can trace direct. Like, my parents both came to the U.S. in the 70s for college. So I'm hoping there aren't surprises, but our last name is also Parker, so you never know.
You should do it.
I should do it.
You should do it.
Okay.
You should do
I'll
it.
I'll look into it.
Have you been to Ghana?
I have, yeah, a couple
What's
of times.
What's it like?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, you can definitely go to Cape Coast and check out the slave castles and everything, and that is definitely an experience.
Right.
But it's beautiful. It's such a diverse and rich country. I mean, you have the city, you have the suburbs, you have the countryside.
How do people dress there, and who's famous in Ghana that's also famous here? Like, is Beyonce really famous in Ghana, or could she walk down the street there and no one would care?
Yeah, everyone who's famous sort of this direction, Western civilization, I'd say is pretty much famous there too. I haven't been there in years, so
okay.
I'd hesitate to say like, who's famous there. But I know, like, I'm very newly connected as I've been getting older. I mean, I grew up mostly in the States, but as I've been getting older, I've been getting more connected to sort of my African roots, and I'm kind of into the Afrobeat scene now.
Okay,
oh, and a lot of those artists, either from Nigeria or Ghana, that sort of West Coast, are gaining a lot of notoriety and popularity
here.
So Wizkid is a Nigerian example that's kind of blowing up. I mean, he was on a Drake single
recently. Yes, yeah.
You know, there are a lot of artists that are sort of blowing up, and that warms my heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of, I think what makes me a little bit sad is a lot of fashion trends that I note as originating from Ghana. So a lot of sort of like kente cloth prints and patterns, a lot of the head wraps we're seeing. I would say even a lot of the textures we see in mainstream and commercial stores, I know originate in Ghana, but those designers aren't getting that credit.
Of course.
So it's a little tough to deal with, but I'm glad that the influence is so pervasive either way, because it's, you know, it's putting us on the map, but at the same time, it's like, we need to work on why.
Do you have,
why this is happening.
Do you have an issue with a white woman wearing like a kente cloth or like an African print outfit?
This is an interesting question, because I recently discovered that Ed Sheeran has a song in Tree, which is the Ghanaian language.
Interesting.
Yes, on his new album.
And have you listened to it?
It's a good song. Okay. It's annoyingly addictive.
You're like, damn you.
Group chat, like, what is happening? Here's the thing. I don't mind other people immersing themselves in cultures. I don't think that in and of itself is appropriation. I think we all learn from each other. I think what I struggle with is when you have white folks or people who are not of, you know, a certain culture or background, kind of like immersing themselves into a culture, and then they become mainstream and popular, and that credit doesn't go back. That credit, those dollars, the, you know, like, all of that doesn't go back to that culture. It's not invested back into that community. And I guess that's what I struggle with.
Yes. So I can give you a very pointed example of this. I was talking to my husband about Paris is Burning and Voguing. And we kind of talked about the documentary. And he was like, oh, yeah, Madonna started this. And I was like, God, like, no, like, stop it. He was like, And I'm like, he was like showing me the video. I was like, please, close that YouTube link. Like, I'm fully aware of what voguing is, and it started from like black Latino gay men in like the New York club scene. Like, Madonna took it and then made it mainstream.
Exactly.
So there's so many people, but do you think that African prints will ever reach a point where people won't know that it came from Africa? I mean, I guess it could.
I think we're already there, to be honest.
Wow.
I've seen, that's scary. I mean, you see, like we were talking about Forever 21 and H&M, I see, you know, the prints and patterns all the time there. You know, people give them cute names, the Shirley, the whatever. And it's just like, what?
The Shirley.
Like, where's the credit here? And
the only reason why I have a hard time with the whole appropriation thing is because if I wore a kimono-inspired robe as a black woman, would people look at me with a side eye? Probably not. It's almost like if you are already a minority, the kind of style world is your oyster. Like, you can sample and pick from anyone you want. But if you're white, you're not allowed to experiment with other looks, right? Like, even Beyonce kind of sometimes does some like Hinduism, Indian inspired looks.
That's true, but so I would argue this. The likelihood of you making that kimono mainstream and popular is a little bit less than like, you know, the Kardashians having everyone talking about cornrows now.
Right.
That's a trend. And I guess that's the part I struggle with. Again, like, I don't think it's wrong.
Right.
And I'm fine with it. I don't have a problem with white folks or whoever kind of, like, borrowing from other cultures. I guess I just have a problem with when, you know, we're not giving credit and acknowledging folks who originated that style or that trend. And then more specifically, when those dollars are not going back to those communities, I guess that's what I struggle with.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay, so we were talking about your space and your like bathroom,
your
dressing room.
Space,
I think it's, for me, half of the fun of going to an event is getting ready. And I love to be alone and get ready. I don't have that luxury all the time. But, you know, you light some candles, you lay everything out.
Yeah.
When you're going out for something that you're getting dressed up for, what's your setup?
Okay, so I'm not going to tell lies on here.
Okay.
I have not been good with this before.
Okay,
this
tell me more.
I'm kind of like a throw it together last minute type of girl. I'm not gonna lie. Kind of a roll out of the bed, figure out what I have. To your point, like I am stylish because I have an artistic core. So yes. I went to design school and everything. So I'm stylish in that way, but I'm figuring it out with my appearance and my wardrobe and beauty and everything. So it's kind of a new space for me. I don't really have that ritual yet. I think more than likely, like if you're fly on the wall in my apartment on a Friday night, I'm getting ready to go out. My Afro beats are blasting.
Nice. You have to give me some song recommendations, by the way.
Oh my God, I have a whole playlist on Spotify.
Please send.
Share it with
you.
Afro beats are blasting. Candles are lit. Okay, I'm nice. Dancing in my undies. I'm rummaging through my clothes to figure out like what I have and what looks good, and kind of just throwing things together, kind of like last minute.
Yeah, I think.
Honestly,
that's like a way to do it. And sometimes the more calculated and deliberate you make it, it stops becoming fun because you're kind of like you give yourself so much time to figure it out, and then you start second guessing yourself. And then by the time you walk out the door, you're like, okay.
I will say I've gained a lot of weight in recent months, and so that's been challenging for me. Where I find myself shopping now for like what fits and looks good. So I'm working on it. I'm getting back in the gym and focusing on my diet. But I realized I got to a point where like I was starting to shop based on like what fits, what's going to look good, versus like what my actual style is.
Interesting.
And so it really helped for me to reach out about a year ago to a stylist friend, Kelly Augustine. She's on Instagram and everything. We had her on a past episode of the podcast. And have her come in and do like a closet audit and like talk to me. I Pinterested like what my actual style was in my mind, and then have her actually take a look at my clothes and be like, girl, like you're saying you dress this way, but
you're the second person. I mean, Claire, who was my last guest on the podcast, was saying she hired an image consultant to come in and figure out. So reaching out for professional help. Interesting.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, we have shows, we have podcasts, like starting to kind of get out into the public eye a little bit more. And I'm an introvert at heart. Yeah. So though I share a lot of my life on social, I have anxiety about that. So, you know, just thinking more about like how I appear and making sure that the brand and this whole career thing that I'm like talking about, people actually believe in my appearance, and that I'm not just like sort of casually throwing things together all the time.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So she did an audit. She looked at your Pinterest page, and then she helped you throw stuff out?
Yeah. So she helped me. She actually sized me with measuring tape, which was huge, because I think we get so stuck on sizes.
The label. Yes, of course.
And
you
really have to find things that work for your body.
Absolutely.
And that's not standardized. Yeah. So she helped me figure out what, you know, my sizes look like at different brands. And she really helped me figure out how to shop, both online and in person. And so that was about a year ago, and I'm actually going to work with her again this weekend because it's time to just update that a bit.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, that just, like, that year, it just helped me figure out how to, like, pick a couple pieces. And also, like, stuff that she shopped for me was very different than what I would have picked up for myself. Mm-hmm. But when it showed up, I was like, I love this.
Right.
And so it kind of opened my mind a bit more to alternative styles, accessories, and places that I could shop to kind of achieve my style goals.
Interesting. I wonder how much your beauty look plays a role in that, because as a Black woman, I change my hair all the time. And it's like, you know, when you have like a big curly fro thing going, that's a different outfits are needed for that look versus when you have like a sleeker look.
Yes.
So have you thought at all about how your beauty, how the way your beauty is changes what you're wearing?
Yeah, a little bit, because I actually just made an appointment with my weave lady to get like a very long, flowy, like
weave
situation.
Love it.
For those of you listening right now, I'm like donning like a curly crochet braid fro.
Yes.
And I've been doing that for about a year.
And you're natural, right?
I am natural. Yeah. So yes, I've been doing either natural or natural looks, natural protective styles for over a year. So when I met with Kelly a year ago, that was like what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going back to kind of the straight look, and I've thought about that. That's going to be like a different kind of wardrobe.
Right.
So I have thought about it. Yes. Do I have the answer? No.
Are you prepared for all of the annoying questions in the office?
Oh my God. Can I tell you a story? So one day I think I'd had braids in a couple weeks previously, and I switched over to a weave, and I'm walking into work, and this girl, like, is like, hey, like, my roommate and I were at home talking about, like, you guys' hair. Like,
you guys' hair? Like, no,
mostly
she...
mostly wear weaves, right?
No, like, she yeah. didn't.
Yes, she did.
Yes, a white girl.
Yes. Yes. Did I need to?
She yes. said, me and my roommate were talking yes. about you guys' hair and you yes. guys mostly wear weaves.
Yeah. And, like, okay. posed it as a question, but was kind of saying it as a statement. And I was like, I feel like I was so stunned in the moment that I didn't even know yeah, how to respond
there's,
to that.
There's always some moments you play back in your head and you're like, if I could have just gone right. back in time, yes.
Oh my God, I would have had all these things to say. But yeah, so I mean, most of my coworkers are pretty cool about it.
I mean,
there are the odd few, but...
White women have hair,
right?
It's not like a black
right.
thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some of it, though, I try to be optimistic, and I think mm-hmm. some of it is just like a natural curiosity and interest.
So. Yes.
That
yeah.
they maybe it's coming from like a genuine place of.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've had coworkers earnestly ask me, and you know, even in tones that I might find a little bit annoying, but I'm happy to answer because I get it. Like, the intention there is really to just you're curious
right. Right.
and like. So really, what is that? And how did you go from straight to curly? And I get it. Like, it's fine. I just think there's probably a little bit more respectful way to
yes.
take position.
Yes.
Those questions. And you never want to, like, normalize your appearance and make everyone that's different from you feel other. I think that's really what it's about.
Yes, definitely.
And you switch it up quite a bit.
I do.
Yeah, I love the braids you just had.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm all about... I think some people assume that going natural means it's the end
yeah.
of having fun with my hair, and I'm yeah. just going to be, like, twisting my hair up with cocoa butter.
Right.
And, you know, like, just in braid. Like,
yeah.
Natural hair is... I think it's really funny, actually, how in the natural hair community, weaves are just called protective styles, right?
Right.
That's what's like. That's like the woke way of being like you have a weave in,
right?
That's fine.
Call it what it is.
Call it what it is. Protective style
yeah.
weave. But I do think that one thing that I'm very happy about is I really wanted to color my hair, and I talked to my mom about it. She's always been the one that's like, "Don't color your hair; it's going to damage it." So she was like, "Why don't you just get a weave, extensions, crochet braids, whatever, and experiment with color that way."
Yeah,
so that's what I did. Yeah, I think that it's nice.
Feel it out, you know. See
exactly.
if you like it.
Exactly.
If it works.
Exactly.
If you want to ramp it up, ramp
yeah.
it down a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the coolest things about black women and our
yes.
appearance that we can change our hair all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yes. And so you're new to kind of beauty and
yes.
you're getting into skincare and
yes.
makeup. Let's start with skincare, then we'll
okay.
go to makeup. Tell me the three products that you're really obsessed with at the moment.
Okay, so I took pictures of these.
Okay,
these
amazing.
So I would say, like, number one, and I think a lot of black women in the back would agree with me, coconut oil.
Of course, yes.
I put coconut oil on everything.
Yes.
Hair, skin. In the winter, my skin was drying out a bit, so I needed something that was a little bit more moisturizing, had that oily component. So coconut oil
yes.
has been a huge go-to, and I absolutely love it.
It comes up every episode on this podcast.
Right? Yeah.
White, black, Asian, everyone's obsessed with coconut oil.
I know. I love it.
Do you cook with it?
I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah,
yeah.
I do. And you can literally use it for
everything.
It
yeah.
is phenomenal.
Yes.
My second product that I'm really into is my Clinique Sonic System.
Ah,
yes.
the little electronic
yes.
brush thing.
Right.
Okay.
And I know not everyone's skin texture works with it. I know some people have really sensitive skin where it kind of irritates.
It gets irritated,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, so I use it with my cleanser.
How often
shower.
Do you use it?
I use it every day, pretty much.
Yeah.
I might go, like some weekends I might go without it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, every other day or so, but at least like five.
Yeah, your skin looks great.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think
I'm working on it.
I think so much of it is figuring out what works for you.
Absolutely.
So many people over exfoliate and they're like, oh, I've just been following. It's like, there's no directions. You have to really just study your own skin and
yeah.
figure out what works. So if you're using it 2 days in a row and you're
yeah.
realizing that your skin's having a bad reaction, just stop using it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you, have you done the whole dermatologist thing? I don't know why
oh.
I haven't gone. I need to...
I'm obsessed with my dermatologist.
Really?
Yes.
I've never been to a dermatologist.
Okay. You have to go to Dr. Elena Jones.
Okay.
Which health insurance do you have? Do you have United?
I have United, yeah.
Okay. She's uptown black woman. Amazing.
Oh, I love that.
She is amazing.
Yes. Give
okay.
me her deeds
I will.
After this.
She's
like,
great.
I need to see one because I've kind of have been just sort of self-prescribing things, but I think it's yes. time because I have oily skin and I want to know like what works exactly for my skin.
You're going to love her. And one of the things that I do, I actually just saw her 2 weeks ago, I bring a full list of questions. Mm-hmm. Like I make the most of my appointment time. So I'm like, you know, what foods are the worst for your skin? Mm-hmm. What should I be avoiding? This is the eye cream I'm using. Is it any good? Is it mm-hmm. worth the money? This... I'm thinking about getting a facial. Should I even bother spending money on this?
Oh, wow.
And she gives it to you straight, okay. and she gives product recommendations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because you know what? Like, I am new to this. One of the things that I even struggled to learn, same with natural hair, is, like, what even are the steps for, like, skincare? No, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, once you know it, you're, like, moisturize, tone, mm-hmm. you know, like, or cleanse, moisturize, tone. Like, but how do you learn that? Like, what night creams do you use? When do you use them? Like,
yes.
what's the anti-aging stuff? So I would love just a basic, like, skincare 101.
You're, like, in your infancy. I'm, like, so excited for you to, like, go down this rabbit hole yes. of, like, skincare. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And then my last one that I use for priming, actually, is the Hourglass Veil Mineral
yeah.
Primer.
Great product. Great product.
Like I said, I have oily skin, mm-hmm. so I like a little bit lighter coverage. And I don't really do foundation anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll do a little bit of concealer.
Yeah. Foundation, I feel like, is a sham. Like, what's foundation? Like, you have concealer to yeah. cover up dark spots or if you have blemishes. But then what's the concealer? I don't know.
I guess for, like, a beat, like...
Yeah, 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 for that
YouTube
full...
Foundation
of course.
Full face beat, but... It doesn't work for me, like, during the workday.
Yeah.
It just starts to, like,
yeah.
cake. It's not a good situation.
Yeah, and the girls on YouTube are on YouTube, right? I think people need to realize
yeah.
that. It's not...
Or like a one-hour video.
Right.
And then they're taking it off.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to think about what works in the streets and up close in person.
Exactly,
too.
Exactly.
So, yeah, those are my three, but I'm excited for Recos if you guys have any. I've been listening to the podcast. I'm new to this.
So yeah.
I'm learning.
No, the Hourglass, I'm happy you reminded me about that mm-hmm. product because sometimes I skip the primer step, but when you do it, it smooths your pores.
And that has SPF too, just a little bit. But
oh,
it
has
makes
SPF?
A difference. Yeah.
Okay.
It makes a huge difference.
And you wear sunscreen every day, right? That's going to be the first thing the dermatologist asks you. You have to.
Really?
It's so, I know because we think
even
we have
melanin.
Even
yeah,
with melanin, it's
okay.
so important.
Okay.
It's like the most important skincare step.
Seriously?
The most important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. And it's hard, I think, also with brown skin to find a sunscreen that's not like a chalky white.
Yes, or like super heavy.
So I love Murad. They have
okay.
an amazing sunscreen that
okay.
I recommend. But yeah, definitely SPF.
Okay.
Now, okay, so we talked about the products that you really love.
Yes.
What are the products or trends that you really hate?
Okay, so I'm going to caveat this by saying all of the trends I really hate, I had to think long and hard about this when you posed this question.
Okay.
Because I was like, what is it that I hate? And I wanted to be like overly contouring and all of that, which I'm sure you've heard a ton
yeah.
on the show. But I guess everything that I really hate is rooted in trends that kind of don't celebrate your unique ethnic and, like, cultural identities.
Interesting.
So, I hate color contacts.
Oh, God.
I absolutely am, like, on the campaign to end color contacts permanently.
Well, they're kind of, they're scary because you're looking at someone
yes.
in the eye.
But
and you know it's
there.
Not their eyes. Soul.
And I know Crystal talks about this all the time on the read, so we are sisters in that. I hate color contacts, but it's not just about the contacts. It's really about, like, I think when you're trying too much to project an identity that's not really your own.
Sure.
That's where I have an issue.
But couldn't you say the thing about straight weave?
I mean, is straight attached to a specific, like, cultural or
true
ethnic. I
true.
Don't think that's like unique. I mean, I don't know. So it's not in isolation. So I'm gonna say color contacts.
Okay.
I am gonna say overly contouring.
Yeah.
Because I'm a girl with a Negro nose, or to Beyonce.
Right.
And I think that a lot of the mainstream images that we see in the media project like Eurocentric features, you know, the pointy nose, mm-hmm. straight nose, certain types of eyes, certain types of lips and mouths. And now, you know, like, big lips are getting more popular, hips are getting popular, but, you know, as a black woman,
right.
I grew up with that and got
yeah.
made fun of,
right.
you know,
right.
got made fun for
right.
having the big lips and
right.
the big ass.
Right.
So, I don't know, I think that trends that kind of promote not being yourself, even in the natural hair community, right? Like,
Interesting.
If you're trying super hard to create a natural hair texture
that you do not have,
that's not yours, girl.
Right, okay.
It's not
Let's
yours.
Talk about that. The trend that I hate in the natural hair community is like when you take like a glob of gel and you like shingle yes. it through your hair yes. to create this texture that you don't
it's
have.
Yours.
And it looks
but
a hot mess.
But projected as yours. Like, we know. We don different hairstyles all the time.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're trying to, when you won't leave the house without the contoured face
yes.
and the glob of gel to project a certain texture that's not yours, I think that starts to tap into like some kind of like identity issues.
Yes.
So I don't know. I might be reading too deeply into it, but those are some things I hate. The third I would say that really drives me nuts is like the Sharpie eyebrows.
Ooh.
Like, ladies, if it is like a straight and hard line and it is like black and the contrast between your skin and the eyebrow is like night and day, it's too much.
I think it's hard though because of the popularity of all these beauty bloggers mm-hmm. and YouTubers. People start to lose touch with reality.
Right.
They don't realize in the real world, all of us humans have a very different look going on.
Exactly.
And you're looking at yourself through your front-facing camera
right.
and taking a picture for Snapchat.
Right.
And it's not translating.
It's totally different. Yeah.
It's not translating.
Yeah.
Are there women that you look up to in terms of their beauty look that you think have a really good...
Yeah, so, you know, I actually am, like, obsessed with this kid, Justine Skye. She's
okay.
a child.
Okay.
But, you know, she's an up-and-coming singer. I think she's, like, 19 or 20.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
I love her because she's dark-skinned, like me. And I think she just dons a lot of, like, really natural looks.
Mm-hmm.
She does, like, lots of glossy looks. She has purple hair, which...
That's cool.
You know, is not
but that's
something
cool.
I'm going to be doing.
But she's
but
an artist.
Yeah, she's an artist, so she can get away with it. But I just love that she's kind of like authentically herself. I find that I do gravitate to figures that are kind of like human in their interaction or at least in how they present. I love Elaine Walteroth from Teen Vogue.
Yeah.
I love Bozema St. John from Apple.
Love
like,
her.
I love human women
yes.
who look good, dress great, but are so... They feel practical and down
yes,
there.
Yes.
I don't know if they actually are, but they feel that way.
Well, Bozema is so interesting to me because she's, you know, corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's her title at Apple? She's like the head
head of global music marketing.
Yes.
Or something. She's music at Apple and she's like the head boss over there.
I love that she brings her full self to work.
Yes.
Like the big hair,
yeah.
the fabulous outfits,
yes.
the lipstick, the whole look.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's not toning it down for anyone.
Exactly. And that's worked so well for her. She was like that at Pepsi. I actually had the opportunity to work with her.
Oh, really?
On a past panel. And she was like that at Pepsi before too. She's Ghanaian too. So I really relate and I kind of identify with her. But yeah, I mean, I love women who are themselves and
mm-hmm.
who, I think it's women who wear their confidence as their strongest asset, to
yeah,
be honest.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything from culture in Ghana, like in terms of a beauty trend
mm-hmm.
that you have tried here? Like, I know, have you ever done threading?
No. Well,
I've done
I think
it.
One time.
Okay.
Eyebrows, right?
Well, no. The for hair.
No,
okay.
I haven't.
I've done it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
I haven't. No. I think there are a lot of trends from Ghana that have influenced me. I mean, I love the head wrap. I love...
Can you talk to me about the head wrap? Like, what's the right way to wrap, to do a head wrap?
I don't think there's a wrong way. I think... You know, I think depending on your style, you can do an updo. It's the same as hair. You can do an updo. You can do something that is sort of a half head wrap that interacts with your hair. You can do a turban. You can
do
a headband. There's so many ways. You could do the front knot.
The front knot looks so cool.
Oh, I love it.
I find it intimidating. I don't know why I have never tried.
Oh, I love head wraps.
Okay.
I absolutely love them.
To, like,
I don don
them
on the weekend all the time.
Yeah, like when you're running errands.
Yeah,
and then
you throw on a cute lip, throw on a head wrap mm-hmm. and a simple outfit. And
that author, Zadie Smith, always has an amazing head wrap.
Yeah. Finding Paola, she has a company called Famjam, and then also The Wrap Life are two good pages to follow on Instagram.
The Wrap Life.
The
okay.
Wrap Life and Finding Paola, just to get inspiration about head wrap looks. I also like Joey Rosado. He is a photographer that does a lot of beautiful black women. He's called Island Boy Photographer with an
okay.
I.
I've got lots of new
Tons
people to follow.
Tons of inspiration, yeah. In
okay.
terms of just head wraps and sort of like Afrocentric looks.
Cool,
mm-hmm.
okay. thing. So being that you're new to skincare, beauty, all of that stuff, mm-hmm. you have really good makeup for someone who's new, allegedly.
To skincare, not to cosmetics.
Okay, yeah. So mm-hmm. and so, got it. Where do you buy your makeup, mm-hmm. and how have you learned to apply it?
Yeah, so funny story. I inherited a lot of my makeup, honestly, from people who work professionally
in
beauty and cosmetics. So I had a sorority sister who worked at L'Oreal for a number of years, and she
you were a Delta, right?
AKA.
Oh, AKA. Yes, oh, sorry. AKA. Cardinal
I've
sin.
A lot of deltas. It's cool.
Cardinal sin.
It's okay.
My grandmother was an AKA and my mother was a Delta.
Oh, interesting.
And I am nothing.
And how did that work in the house?
my grandmother pledged AKA after school. Mm. And my mom went to Spelman and she just hung out with a bunch of Deltas. Oh, so wonderful. She just like became a Delta.
Nice.
And I started to pledge at school and then I saw what was required and I was like,
Stanford.
No, thank you. They were like, you're not going to live on campus. You can't be on social media. You can't have a life. You can't party. And I was like,
Yeah, no, that's not cool. Yeah. All good. But yeah, I mean, I love all my Greek sisters, especially the NPHC ones. But one of my sorority sisters, fellow AKA, she worked at L'Oreal and she's an engineer because we had a lot of like packaging engineers come through our undergrad program.
Yep.
And so she became a packaging engineer there and she would literally haul like suitcases full of makeup into the city. And so for the first like 3 or 4 years I was into makeup, I didn't pay for
amazing
not one mascara. So I got a lot of that from her. And then from there, I kind of graduated. I mean, I am still relatively new to this. So I'll do like a Sephora. I love the Naked palette for eyeshadow. I'm very into the matte lipsticks right now. So I do a lot of like ColourPop. I'm actually still a Gloss girl.
ColourPop is like an Instagram beauty brand, right?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I keep hearing about ColourPop.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm like, where do I get it? And people are like
$6 matte liquid lipsticks.
Okay, I need to.
Yeah.
Are you wearing it now?
Yeah.
This it looks amazing.
The liner. Yeah, I have a bunch of their colors. I love it. You do need coconut oil or something to get it off.
Because they're drying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely prime and use like an oil based or a similar, like something to remove it because mm-hmm. You kind of had to scrape it off. My first couple applications, I was trying to figure out how to take it off, but coconut oil works well.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll do like a ColourPop lip. I'm also really still into lip gloss. Like I never gave lip gloss.
I love lip gloss. My lip gloss is popping.
Yes. I go to sleep with lip gloss on.
What?
True story.
What?
Like, all of my friends will tell you. I was buying tubes of like the secret lip gloss since high school. And so I'm glad lip gloss and like juicy lips are making a comeback.
You go to sleep with lip gloss on.
Yeah.
Not chapstick, not Vaseline, lip gloss.
I like the way it feels.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
So I love that that's making a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into it. I'm like looking for a good blush. I just got...
Have you tried NARS? NARS?
In the mail? Yes, NARS is phenomenal.
Yeah, they have really good
NARS
blush.
NARS Everything is great. Makeup Forever is great.
Yeah.
You can afford it. But yeah.
Yeah, and you have this Glossier box
here. I just
got
Glossier, like literally coming over here, and it was at the mailbox. Like, let me check it out.
What'd you order?
That was mostly skincare stuff, so I got a moisturizer, I got the toner, and then I got a moisturizer. Did I say that? Sorry, I got a cleanser, I got a toner, and then I got a moisturizer.
I love all of their marketing, all of their advertising. It's so rooted in real girls and the way that they... I feel like they've kind of nailed it.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see if they can compete with the major beauty brands.
Yes, for sure. It's hilarious.
Okay, so earlier you were talking about how the steps of skincare can be a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
I think that... So, do you know Proactiv?
Yeah.
So Proactiv, a lot of people swear by it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been all of this science shown that it's not actually the products in Proactiv. It's just the clear explanation of the steps. Because they're like, step one, your face.
Yeah.
Step two. So I think you bring up a really interesting point. And if there's a beauty brand that can kind of like tap into that.
Yeah. I mean, that's why when I decided to start the skincare journey, I started with Clinique. Step one, step two, step three.
Yeah.
Because it's like you don't know, you see people posting on Instagram or YouTube about toners or your favorite night cream, but you don't really understand where in the spectrum of your skincare journey those things fall. You don't understand the weight of each product, like how important is anti-aging over a night cream, over, you know, like a toner or a moisturizer. Like, I don't know these things. Yeah, the steps are huge.
Yeah.
I feel like I would really appreciate just like a skincare starter kit. Here's what you do.
Yes. I have this amazing book that's not here now, but I can recommend it to you. It's basically skincare basics, but I think cleanse, then you tone. So you do a toner after you've washed your face with a cleanser, and then a serum. Do you do a serum?
What do the serums do?
The serums kind of like lock in the moisture before you put on the nighttime moisturizing cream.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So similar to, what do they call it in the natural hair community?
The lock method.
Not conditioner. It's leave-in oil and then cream, right? So the serum on your skin is like the oil step. And then you do the cream.
Okay.
So, but you'll get there.
Okay.
You'll get there.
Okay.
Last question for you. When do you feel the most beautiful?
That's a good one. Wow. That is a question. I feel the most beautiful when I think I see something new in myself that I haven't seen before. So, yeah, so I don't think it's as simple as a lip or an eyeshadow. But I think it's just the fact that I can look in the mirror and like see like a pretty red that I never knew worked for my complexion, and that joy and that surprise of like, this looks amazing. Like, that feels priceless.
I love that.
So it's just,
I love that. That's, and you have to really look at yourself and celebrate yourself to have that moment.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's
been so great
great to hear from you.
This is phenomenal.
Yes, I hope you come back.
Yes,
we can,
I will.
We can do more. As as you do your skincare journey,
we can
check in with you.
Thank you.
I must be a lion or be a cheetah, but neither is fine. Don't wanna hurt my dear love of my life. Bambi, Bambi.